Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Here it is once more and again, Wednesday night. And I, your host, Diane Adams, come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Not come in for form or fashion, but just to explore the word of God with you. This is an hour that we have set aside where we come together week after week to hear what the Spirit has to say, to explore the Word of God. There are many things that are happening in and around us in Louisiana with all of the floods. And one thing we can do is sympathize and empathize with the people, because we have experienced much of this ourselves. But we have to be prayerful for them. You know, what done happened has happened, but that they deal with it, understanding that God is in control and He will bring them through. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor to come before you guys. And our lesson tonight, the title of it, Are You Willing to Give Your Last? Are you willing to give your last? And it's coming from 1 Kings in the 17th chapter. As always, we have to give honor unto God, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we have to go to the throne of grace with prayers and being thankful. And as always, I say that if anyone would like to pray, because God is setting up the opportunities for us to do the things of God. You know, you may not realize that even the opportunities that come your way to do something for God, God sets it up. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And if not, I'll go on and pray. We'll have a song, and we're going to go into the Word of God. So be prayerful for the lesson. You know, be prayerful. You know, you should come to Bible study with a spirit of expectation, expecting that God has a word for you, that God is directing your path, and that God wants you to be in position to receive the many blessings that He has for you. We have a caller that has pressed the one button. And once this caller prayed, I'm going to play the record, and we're going to go into the lesson. Caller, your number is 504-272. Your mic is open.
Our Father, who art in heaven, Lord Jesus, just help everybody to just do the right thing. And pray for the people in Baton Rouge and the children and my grandkids who I want to see. And send some kind of job my way where I can start having a little extra money to do the things I need to do, Lord Jesus. Just take this prayer and just spread it all over the world, Jesus. Just help people and help me to help people and guide me in the right direction where I can do the right thing for teaching my children about the Bible and how the Lord make me feel in such a good way in the inside. And that's all I can do, Lord, is spread the word, Jesus, you know, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. That's Miss Pinky, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for allowing God to use you on tonight. You know, God set up the opportunity for someone to pray, and you accepted the call, and you prayed, and God honors that. We thank you for that. And pray that you keep calling in and keep keep giving us those beautiful prayers. At this time, I'm going to go ahead on and play the song. I think the song is appropriate because the record, the name of the record is Here Am I. And the record is, you know, saying that, you know, do you honestly tell God sometime, here am I, use me, and not just say it with lip service, but really let God know that you are willing vessel to work for him. We have to remember that all of us have a job and a specific purpose. And what God has designed for you is not for me. And we all have to be in our rightful place and do the things that God is assigning to us, because he knows each and every one of us. And if he give you an assignment, he always gives the provisions that it could be fulfilled, and he never sets you up to fail. So we have to be in tune and in touch with God and his purpose and his will for our lives, that we could be the vessel to be used by him. And as the record says, we should all get to a point where we could say, Lord, here am I.
Here I am.
And that was Tamla Maine, and the name of that record is Here I Am. Our lesson tonight, the topic is, are you willing to give your last? And it's coming from 1 Kings, the whole 17th chapter. As always, the introduction is going to be about the book, the character, and I want you to know that the authors of the book of 1 and 2 Kings is unknown. You know, plenty of times we have books of the Bible and we know who the authors are. But 1 and 2 Kings, it's unknown. You know, many people believe that Jeremiah wrote the book, but there's no evidence for it. And one thing about the Bible, if it doesn't say it, we just can't assume it. You see, Elijah was a prophet, and the prophet Elijah is one of the most interesting and colorful of all the biblical characters. Yet his life was so filled with turmoil that today, if we knew Elijah, we might say that he was up one day and down the next. Doesn't that sound like a lot of us? Because Elijah at times was bold and decisive and at other times fearful and unsure. We have much to learn from him. There are ways in which Elijah demonstrated the power of God and his faith. And then sometime he plunged into a deep depression. You know, we as human, we're going to have ups and downs and highs and lows. But through it all, we have to still rely and trust and put our faith in the Almighty God. Elijah had all of these adversities in his life, but yet he held on to the confession of his faith and believed that God is the only true and living God. And that's how we have to do. You know, sometimes we have things going on in our lives and it seems unbearable. But in the midst of it all, we have to still trust God. We still have to realize that God's going to work it out together for our good. The Bible never said that just because you're turning your life over to God and you love God that you're not going to have no trouble. The Bible says in James says, when you fall in many temptations and trials and tribulation, the word of God never said if or that you would not. But when you fall into all of these circumstances, situations, and adversities, still trust God. You see, in the Old Testament, a prophet was a spokesperson for God. The prophet admonished, he warned, he directed, he encourages, he intercedes, he teaches, and he counsels. He bring the word of God to the people of God and call the people of God to respond. Isn't that what the word of God do when you study to show yourself approved? You see what God wants of you and how he wants you to respond. You know, it is said that so many people are hearers of the word but not doers of the word. You could find a person that live life the way they want to, not leaning or trusting on God. And yet they could still give you scriptures. They could still tell you some things in the Bible. And they could still tell you what thus say the Lord. Because they were hearers. And they never became doers. You know, when we look at the prophets, the Bible contains 17 writings of 17 prophets. So that means there are 17 books of prophecy in the Bible. You know, five of the books are known as major prophets, and 12 are known as minor prophets. Don't, you know, some people say, well, if you're a major prophet, you're better than a minor prophet. No, the way they got their title of major or minor is by how much writing they did, how long their book was, how much writing they had in their books, because you got to remember that all prophets and their prophecies are necessary and they are equally important, major or minor. The major had more writing than the minor. Not that they were better, more knowledge, or more closer to God, but that's the way they determine that. And the Bible lets us know to know if a prophet is true or false. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 18 and 22, for those who write down and going to go look it up in your Bible, Deuteronomy 18 and 22 says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the things followed not, saying if the things they said don't happen or come to pass, that is the things which the Lord has not spoken. See, plenty of times, you know, they have people today saying they prophet this, and people say such and such prophesies over my life, and they told me a word from God. But to know a true prophet is what they prophesied came true. You see, and God said in the word of God in Deuteronomy 18, they say, if the thing followed not, and that prophet spoke presumptuous, thou shalt not be afraid of him. You know, don't take that prophecy, somebody prophesies you're going to die early or whatever. If it doesn't come to pass, he's saying don't put too much stock in it and be concerned about what that prophet says. That's how you tell a true prophet. You see, God anointed this man to bring the message and warnings of repentance. Elijah did not seek to be God's messenger. Instead, God chose him for the job. Don't you know we never went looking for God? God is always coming and looking for us. God has a chosen job for each and every one of us to do. It was formulated and thought of before the foundation of the world. He said, even in Psalms 139, when I formed you in your mother's womb, he knew what his intended purpose for you was. We didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And that's what happened with Elijah as well. You see, Elijah was a human being just like us, a man of similar hopes and dreams, weakness and shortcomings. But he also was a man of deep faith in God. Elijah was a bold, direct, to-the-point prophet of God. By speaking the prophecies of God, he made enemies. Don't you know when you start getting your life right, you're going to make enemies? Some people are going to say, oh, here come Holy Roly. Here come somebody who think they know God better than me, or, you know, whatever, you know. You know, it can cause you to have enemies. But just like Elijah, your enemies will not overpower you because God is with you. Don't worry about what people have to say. Long as you know God is with you. Because if God be for you, whom could be against you? And yes, weapons gonna form against you, but when God is with you, those weapons will not prosper. You see, Elijah is one of the best-known prophets of the Jews because they was expecting Elijah to return someday. You see, Elijah was with God, and God sent a chariot of fire from heaven, and it picked Elijah up from earth and brought Elijah straight to heaven. You see, so Elijah never tasted death. And it's in 2 Kings 2:11. And it read that it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both. See, at that time, Elijah was with Elijah. Elijah is the one that took Elijah's place when Elijah went up to heaven with God. So when they say they separated them asunder, and Elijah went up in a whirlpool, a whirlwind to heaven. You know, when I do Bible study and I give you Elijah or whoever, I pray that it pricks your interest to, you know, we in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, and, you know, we starting off with Elijah. So if you keep reading the 18 and the 19 and continue to read, you'll know all of the details about Elijah. You know, and the Bible says you got to study for yourself. And I tell you all the time, when we come together on Wednesday night, I try to give you information, but it's the Holy Ghost that's going to give you illumination and revelation. Elijah the prophet was a man used by God. And the first miracle that Elijah performed, or the first starting of his prophecy, is in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, and that's what we're going to study tonight. So I hope that have given you a little background on Elijah, and realize just like Elijah is a man, we are women and men of God. And just like God went looking for Elijah, God is also looking for each and every one of us. God did not make anything without a purpose. So you know you have a purpose. And God is looking for each one of us so that his design and his will could be performed. But God could come looking for us, but we have to answer the call. So keep your ears open and your eyes open and see if God is telling or directing you in one way or another. Because once you accept your direction and your calling and your purpose, that's where all your success lies. And I'm not talking about just success with money, because he said if you seek ye first the kingdom, everything else is going to be added with you. But everything, like your joy, going to be full. You know, like your faith is going to be solid. It's going to all of these things is going to work together for your success. Trust God. So Elijah 17, I'm going to read the first verse to let you know, this is how it started with Elijah. Verse 17 chapter, the first verse said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the habitant of Gilead, and unto Ahab, as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years, but according to my word." You see what happened? Okay, when God give things to the prophets to tell a people, one of the reasons is God never leaves his people in the dark. How many times things have happened in your life and you say, plenty of times people say, "Something told me not to do that." That is not a something. That's the Holy Ghost that God has given us. The Holy Ghost lives in us. When Jesus went back, he said, "I'm not going to leave you by yourself." He's saying the Holy Ghost is going to have the ability to do everything for you and with you that I would do if I was still here. So God never leaves his people in the dark. He uses his prophets to tell the people what he's going to do. rather good or bad. We can believe this because the scripture said, God explains. Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. That's in the book of Amos. You know, so like I'm giving Bible study, I'm not giving you Diane thoughts. I'm giving you what thus said the Lord in the scriptures where you could look them up. You see, we first meet Elijah when he suddenly appeared to challenge the king, King Ahab. And he was an evil king who ruled the northern kingdom. Now, I'm talking about the Israelites now. This man is a Israelite, God's chosen people. He's not of another nation. He's ruling the northern kingdom, which is the part of the Israelites, you know, nations, when they had the tribes, the 12 tribes were split up in the northern and the southern. You see, Elijah prophesied a drought would come upon the land as consequences of this evil king. God uses Elijah the prophet to announce the punishment and warn the Israelites. You know, the Israelites is the children of God, God's chosen people, the Jews, to change their ways. King Ahab, according to the Bible, was one of Israel's most powerful rulers. Many considered him to be the worst ruler that ancient Israel ever had. And he married Jezebel, who was so evil that she became a symbol of revenge. Anything bad, she became the symbol for it. She was full of malice. She was immoral. And she was so cruel that every woman throughout history, in our time too, is called Jezebel. You know, sometimes when someone calls a person a Jezebel, which is not their name, they are considered to have the morals of this king wife Jezebel. All in the Bible, after this time, this Jezebel. And even I think in the New Testament, when they call a woman Jezebel, they're talking about this woman here. That king had an evil wife. You see, when he married Jezebel, he became the first Israelite king in the Bible to align himself with such heathen practices. They was full of idolatry, worshiping other gods. They were act like barbarians. They worshiped false god, and it was just plain evil. So God sent Elijah there and told him, the king, that he was going to make a drought, that he was going to hold rain back for 3.5 years because they were so evil. And if we read the second verse all the way to the sixth verse, and they say, the word of God came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens, talking about the birds, to feed thee. Come on, look how God work it out. Come on now, y'all. God told him, go hide yourself because, you know, you done told this to the king. He got power. He might want to harm you. He said, but go hide yourself by this brook. He said, and I'm going to send the ravens, the birds, to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of God. For he went and dwelled by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh, which is meat, in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. This scriptures let us know that Elijah did not seek God. But God sought him. Dead, God chose him for the job, just like God is choosing each one of us for our specific job. You see, once called, Elijah did not hesitate to take on his mission, even though it appeared that his life would be threatened by the wicked king. Elijah set out to deliver the announcement to the king. Then God sent Elijah into hiding as the drought dried up the stream and withered the crop of the nation. See, when God gets you, he could do anything. You know, without the water, they had no crops. Without no crops, they have no food 3.5 years. You want to, you know, you can't fight God. Like what that thing say, your arms is not long enough to box with God. And you don't need to be in a position to anger God. Sometimes we're doing things in our life and we're doing and doing what we want, you know. And sometimes God says, that's enough. And he sets us down and, you know, he gets our attention. And not to hurt us, but to help us. Whenever God has something for you to do, he never set you up to fail. You see, warned by God, Elijah hide. But his provisions are met by the ravens daily, every morning and every evening. Didn't God say us in a prayer, give us this day our daily bread? That is true. We could see it here. The ravens brought food and meat, and he drank from the brook. God told him to go there. He didn't say, oh, I can't go there because I ain't got no this or that. You know how we come up with all of these excuses. Sometimes when we think God told us to do something and we don't want to do it, you know, we can make and find an excuse for everything we want. You see, all of God's assignments have provisions attached to them. God never asks you to do something without providing the provisions necessary to fulfill the intended purpose. God has an intended purpose for all of us, and the provisions for us to fulfill it has already been provided. You see, God sent him, and the provisions was already there waiting for him. Supposing he wouldn't have went, he would have never knew. Supposing if you don't decide to do it, how would you know how it would have turned out? Trusting God. You see, God is always working things out for your good, and no weapon that forms against you will prosper. When one door closes, God has the power. He's always willing and able to open another one. Remember that. And if we look at verses 7 through 11, and it came to pass after a while that the brook where he was hiding dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the God came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which is belongeth to Zion, and dwell there. See, God giving you directions. You know how you say, God, order my footsteps, or allow your lamp to be a feet, allow your lamp to be a light to my feet, and direct my pathway, these kind of things. A lamp into my feet and a light to my pathway. But are you listening to what he's saying, and if you following his direction? The brook dried up. So God telling him, here's the next move. Hallelujah. He said, behold, I have commanded a woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, come on, watch this. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. I'm reading the scripture, y'all. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And I'm on verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And that's what he asked the woman. You see, as the drought and the famine of the land deepened, Elijah met the widow in the neighboring country. She apparently knew about Elijah and his faith in God. You know, she probably knew that, and this is what he asked her, but this is what she tell him in verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth," listen to her now, "I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." The lady's saying, "I don't have much, and what I have is about to run out. The only thing I have is this little stuff that's in my hand." She's saying, "I'm prepared to fix this. It's going to be our last meal because I don't have no resources to get nothing else. I'm not going to get a check. I don't have a man going to bring me some money." You know, they didn't have food stamps. She said, "So I'm going to make it, and me and my son going to die." And 13 said, "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But watch this, but make me therefore a little cake first." See, plenty of us would have got out of it right then when you you'd say, "He mighty cheeky. You know, I got my son and me. I'm a woman and my son, I don't know how old he was, but just imagine if he was a child. And he said, make the cake for me first." You know, every time God gives us an assignment or we hear an order, do things God has set something up for us, it might not sound like the way we want it to hear. But when you trust God, you just, you know, you take what is being said and you keep it moving. He said, "But therefore, make me a little cake first." And then he said, "And bring it to me. And after, make for thee and for thy son." 14 say, "For thou said the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall a crude of oil fail until the day that God sent it rain upon the earth." See, they didn't have no produce. They couldn't make no bread. They didn't have no wheat and things because everything was shed up because God shed it up. He told her, "But if you give it to me, you're going to be all right." Can you, you know, are you willing to give your last? You know, this must have been hard for the widow. Not only did he want some of what was not enough in the first place, but he wanted him to feed her first. She agreed to make the cake for the prophet, even though she didn't have enough food. And she was willing to eat this as her final meal. She trusted Elijah when he said that she could put her trust in God. And you see, that trust produced faith. And even with that, she said, "Okay, I'm a believer and I'm a trust." And really, at that time, what did she have to lose? You know, maybe the cake could have been bigger if she didn't give Elijah a piece, but she would have only still had that one last meal. You know, sometimes when you trust God, what do you have to lose? Whenever I meet people and they think they say they're atheists, they don't believe in God, or they don't trust God or whatever. You know, sometimes the situation is, what do you have to lose? So she went on and did it. And it wasn't because she had total faith in God. She knew Elijah, and she might have believed him a little bit, but she made the cake, she fed Elijah, and she then fed her son. And if we look at verse 15, and it said, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat for many days. Come on now, just the blessing. Just the blessing attached to the obedience. She did what he said, and they ate for many days. And 16 said, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You see, through her obedience to Elijah's request, God provided food enough for the woman, Elijah, and her son until other food could be provided. Miraculously, the widow's barrel of flour and jar of oil never ran out. The lesson for the believer is that if we walk in fellowship with God and obey him, we will be open to his will, and we are in the will of God, he will fulfill all of our needs. And his grace and mercy towards us will never run short. Can you believe that tonight? And if I'm read the last scriptures, it start at 17 and it goes to 24. And the scripture read as follows. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died, the woman's son. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? She said, since you done came here, you know, what's all of this about? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him in his bosom. He took him out of her bosom and carried him up unto the loft where he abode and laid upon him in his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also evil upon this woman, this widow, with whom I sojourned by slaying his son? See, now Elijah thinking it's something he didn't do or do right or good enough that could be the cause of the woman's son death. And then 21 say, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he was revived. And 23 say, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chambers into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. See, the lady gave, you know, she trusted God and gave up a piece of cake. You see, when you trust God and do something that God wants you to do, you don't know how many blessings are attached to that. She gave up a little piece of bread, and lo and behold, her son died. And the most she know about God is through Elijah and how he let the bread, you know, that our house still had bread and you know, Arla cooked the bread for all of that time. So you see, God always gives you evidence to believe. You might say, Sister Diane, what you're saying, God have not asked any one of us to believe something that he haven't given the evidence. The word of God, which is the Bible, is full of evidence. Because what God did for one person and how he did it for him, he also can do that for you. You see, by not a woman, faith and got strong. She believed the God of Elijah, and she believed, and he has proven that he's a prophet. You see, her son fell ill and died, and the widow was concerned that God was reminding of her sin because of her housing Elijah. You know, sometimes when you're somebody around people that you think is closer to God than you, how it makes you feel, it makes sometimes make, you know, your sins are exposed, not to the person, but within you and things like that. She thought because Elijah had came to her house and she, you know, she said in the scripture, you know, you came here to expose my sin and let God take my child, but it wasn't about that. And see, Elijah carried the boy to the bed and prayed over him. Elijah also did not know if God had brought this punishment. Was this a punishment from God while he was in the lady house for something maybe he did or didn't do or God told him to do and he didn't do? God is not waiting around to do no tit for tat on you. God is exposing his will to us through his word that we could become the intended purpose that he has created us to be. You know, there's scripture talk about God as the potter and we as the clay. You know, a potter takes a piece of clay that's formless and nothing, and he put it on that spinner. And it turns around, and a potter takes his hand, and he molds and shapes that clay into something that could be useful. The clay in and of itself is just a piece of clay. But when that potter takes his hand and molds it and shapes it, they're going to have an end product, and that end product is going to be something useful. You see, that's what God is doing in and through our lives. He said, won't you try to be the piece of clay and let me be the potter so that your intended purpose of usefulness can come to pass. You see, when things happen in our lives, we sometimes start to question our past mistakes. We begin to question even our current sins. And even, you know, grow weak in our faith for the reason, for the situation that is happening. You know, the Bible said we're going to reap what we sow. But God is not waiting to do a tit-for-tat thing with you. You see, God uses everything for his glory. You know, plenty of things that happen in our lives, our life experiences, our shortcomings, everything that God allowed to happen or orchestrated in your life is to get us into that intended purpose. I'm talking about to come off the potter's, you know, spinner, and be what God created us to be here on earth. And everything God created has a purpose, and it's for his glory. You know, when God made the flowers is what give off the oxygen. You know, God made some bigger bugs that could eat the little bugs so the population wouldn't just overtake us. You know, he created the bees so they could make honey. See, everything God made has a purpose. Hallelujah. And if he did that for the flowers and the trees and the bees, what more you think he did for you? You see, our God always gives the evidence needed to trust him. And after the prophet raised her son from the dead, the widow proclaimed that she too trusts in the God of Elijah. And his words were words of truth. That's our lesson for tonight. And the title of the lesson and the question that I ask, are we willing to give our last? If God gives you something to do, he always get a provisions. He started off, gave him something to do, knew it would cause ruckus. He told him where to go hide. When that place got dried up and he could no longer be there, he told him, you know, and he told him the birds going to come feed you, man. What kind of God does we serve? God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and God wants the best for your life. But you got to believe it to achieve it. God ain't setting you up to fail. And our situation, trials, tribulation, adversities could be coming to us for various reasons. Sometimes, like with Job, it could be only a test. Sometimes God is letting you experience some things to get your attention to bring you where he wants you to be. And sometimes it's just time for us to grow up and become matured in the things of God and stop drinking milk and be able to eat meat. But whatever God uses and whatever comes your way, it is never what comes your way, but who you go through it with. And tonight I just want you to know that God is able and willing to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the whole world and everything that dwells therein. You know, many of us have talents. And God is calling on us to use our talents. And I don't know if you think about this, but it just came to me like this the other night, that everything God asks you to use for him is something he already gave you. You don't have to go somewhere and go in a room and invent something or create something. You might could invent, but you can't create because God is the only creator. Man can only invent. Man take things and a part of this and a part of that that God created, and he might come up with an invention, an invention. But God ain't asking you to create no event, because everything God asking you to do, he has already provided for you. And if the provisions is not in your hand, when you set out to do what God has asked you to do, the provisions is where he sent you to. Waiting on you. And that's the lesson for tonight. It's 9:26. And if anybody would like to add anything, comment on the program, ask for prayer, lead us in prayer, you know, you could press the one button at this time. If not, I'll do the closing prayer and do a benediction. And we'll end the program for tonight. But, you know, in times like these, you know, things that are happening have never happened before. There are so many people coming on TV saying, you know, we never had water here. You know, some people say, well, I lived here for 60 years and I never saw water. And even some of those who saw the water have never saw water like this before. And not only that, they've got fires in California. They say the fires. Can you imagine how many 23 feet is? I think from here to Slidell, Louisiana is 29 feet, and some of the fires is 23, 24 feet, you know, long. That's a lot of fire. So if you, you know, didn't feel you need God, we definitely know we need him in times like these. And it's not over. You know, new flooding is supposed to keep happening for some days in that area. And at these times, we have to be prayerful. Because God said, the people who are called by my name, honor him and pray. He will then heal the land. All of us have to be praying. These are truly praying times. So if no one pressed the one button, I'm going to just check with the lady who prayed earlier, because once she pressed the button, if she pressed it again, I won't be able to see it. After that, I'm going to go ahead and, oh, I have another caller. Caller, your number is 504-534. Your mic is open and we could listen to you at this time, whatever way you want to come.
Goes out with prayer. You hear me?
We could hear you, baby.
Okay, I was calling to close out with the prayer.
Okay.
God, we thank you, Lord, for this night, oh God. For your word said, this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, oh God. You said, through all things, through prayer and supplication, let our request be made known unto you. God, we pray for those that have lost loved ones, those that have lost homes, oh God, that you would give strength. We pray for all of those that are on the prayer list, Lord, that you would touch, heal, and deliver, Lord God. You are Lord, and besides you, there is none other. God, your word said, to much given, much is required. God, we just want more of you and less of self, oh God. You said that we must believe that you are, and that you are a reward of those that diligently seek you, oh God. God, that we will start seeking your face more, Lord, that we will cry out for Jesus and less of self. God, we are living in trying times, God, and we pray that you would touch, heal, deliver, set captivity captives free, because you are God, and besides you, there is no other. God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for Sister Diane, oh God, that you will keep encouraging her heart and strengthen her as she go from day to day. In the mighty name of Jesus, and for this broadcast and everyone that's listening, that we would all be encouraged and be enlightened. And you say, with all thy getting, get some understanding, Lord God, that our understanding would be open, that we would have revelation knowledge of your word, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria Mackie. Sister Mackie is calling in from Boothville, Louisiana. And we thank you for that powerful prayer. And thank you, Sister Pinky, who prayed earlier. It's now 9:31, and it's the end of our broadcast. But if anyone else would like to pray, or anyone would like to make a comment or even ask for prayer, and I'm asking that each and every one of you go and do some praying for people. Because, you know, every time we pray, we have to become intercessors and pray for one another. Don't take it so lightly. And I know, you know, early in my life years ago, people say, pray for me. And I say, okay, and I didn't even remember. But I'm better with that now because I know how important that is. And I encourage each and one of you to become interceding, intercessor, praying for one another. Pray for the people in California, the people all around Louisiana. Some has lost family members, and most of them lost their possessions. But, you know, there's worldly stuff, but it's easy to say when it's not you. But, you know, the fact remained the same. We was once in the same boat, and we sympathize, and not only sympathize, but we emphasize, we sympathize and have empathy for these people because we've been this way as well. But just like God brought us through, that's the same way he's going to bring them through. but we got to pray for them. So I'm asking that each and every one begin to pray for these people in your prayer time. That's our present prep. That's our lesson for tonight. And I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And a benediction for tonight is that you, each and every one of us, grow in faith and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we may be strengthened, established, and get in position to receive everything that God has for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And good night, everybody.